We began the Gemara yesterday on the Chof on the base, and we said there are three mitzvahs. There are three mitzvahs which one has to be mekayim upon entry into Eretz Yisrael. What are they? Firstly, setting up a melech, wiping out Amalek, and building a Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, do we know in what order, or is there an order in which these mitzvahs must be fulfilled? So have a look at the Gemara. We'll see it again. Says the Gemara. The first word on the line is Tanya. It's about 10 lines into the wide lines. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Shalosh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael b'knisosan la'oretz. Three mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael, were instructed upon entering Eretz Yisrael. Lahamid lohem melech, to appoint for themselves a king, or lahachar zarei shel Amalek, to wipe out all descendants of Amalek, velivlois lohem beis habechira, and to build a beis hamikdash. This we saw yesterday. However, ve'eini yodea, I don't necessarily know eizei mohem tchila. I don't necessarily know which one is first. Is there a seder? Is there a particular order that this must be done in? So says the Gemara. However, when the Torah, even though it doesn't say specifically, but it's certainly hinted to, that was the question we left dangling yesterday. Does anybody know where else you find five words in a row of two letters? But either way, so it calls wiping out Amalek not just a mitzvah to kill them, but it calls it a milchama. If that's the case, that tells us that lahamid lohem melech tchilah ve'in kisei el melech shenema v'yeshev shlomi al kisei Hashem lemelech. So we certainly know that in order to wipe out Amalek, it requires a milchama. A milchama requires a king. So we definitely know that in order to wipe out Amalek, you first have to appoint a king. Now, says the Gemara, v'adayin eini yodea, but I still don't necessarily know. Im livno islohem beis habechira tchila, oy lahachris zarei shel Amalek tchila. So I know that appointing the king has to precede wiping out Amalek in order to lead them in war. But what about the mitzvah of building a beis hamikdash? Where does that come? Does that come before? Does that come at the end? Says the Gemara, we can work that out as well from the psukim. Because when it says v'honiach lochem mikol oyveichem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will abandon all of your enemies, and then it says v'hoyo hamokoim asher yivchar Hashem, and then it will be that the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses for a Beis HaMikdash. So I see that what's the order? First the enemy is vanquished, and only then is Beis HaMikdash built. Hevei oimer. So that teaches us lahachris zarei shel Amalek tchila. So now the order is complete. First, you have to appoint a king. Then you wipe out Amalek. It's only with the king that they could be led to war. Following wiping out Amalek, then you build the Beis HaMikdash. V'chein, b'David. So too with David HaMelech. Also, hu omer, v'yehi ki yeshev HaMelech David b'beisoy. V'hashem eniach loy misoviv. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned all his enemies, and only then v'ksiv v'yemer HaMelech al nosanovi re'eino anoichi yeshev beisu arozim. David HaMelech says that I see that I'm sitting in a palace and we've got to build a Beis HaMikdash. So you see that once again, that's the order. First, David HaMelech's enemies were vanquished, and only then did he see fit to build the Beis HaMikdash. So now we know the order. Says the Gemara Vayta. Oma Resh Lakish, Bitchilo Molach Shloimoi Al Ha'Elyonim. So we need to know, in order really to understand this Gemara, we need to know a very puzzling and difficult piece of Jewish history. And what is that difficult piece of Jewish history? The difficult piece in Jewish history is that Shloimoi HaMelech, even though obviously we have no hasaga, no way of perceiving his greatness, But something happened towards the end of his life. It's unclear what it was, because if you read the psukim superficially, at the surface, it sounds like he married non-Jewish women. That's what it sounds like, which surely cannot be understood kipshutei, but certainly something happened, and because of it, he was demoted of his great gadlus that he had achieved prior to that point. We always have to be so extremely careful when talking about gedolei olam, such as Shlomo HaMelech, whom we have no perception on his greatness whatsoever. So not only do we have to be careful, because in all likeliness, whatever we suggest will be mistaken, but also because indeed they are such great people, we have to assume that even when the Navi describes what seems to be averas, we're talking about on the most subtle level, sometimes it's metaphoric, etc., etc., etc. And the classic example is, we have a whole Gemara in Shabbos that says, Kol Sheomar David Choto, anybody who says that David HaMelech sinned, Toya is making a mistake. Eino Yelo Toya. Now that's very strange, because if you look, when David HaMelech was rebuked by the Novi, David HaMelech actually said, Chotosi, I sinned. So why would I need a better proof than that there was an Avera, if David HaMelech himself said, Chotosi, I sinned, and yet whoever says that David HaMelech sinned is mistaken. Now, it doesn't say in the Gemara, whoever says David HaMelech sinned is a Rasha. It's just mistaken. I mean, you have to understand that you can't understand some things. So we have to be very, very, very careful. So either way, without getting involved now in the whole parasha, suffice now for us is to understand that Shlomo HaMelech, at the end of his life, it would seem to be that he married wives who were non-Jewish, which is, of course, a very difficult thing to understand. And because of that, as we're now going to see, the Gemara says he was demoted stage by stage. So look at the Gemara.
Why can't the assumption just be that he married a Gioris?
Because...
I mean, that's what I got out of it when we learned it before.
Because if that be the case, there's no Issa to marry a Gioris, and there's no reason why he should be demoted.
Well, maybe for a king, that would be beneath a king.
We didn't see a Mishnah anywhere that says that a king can't marry a Gioris. It actually says that you're not allowed to marry too many wives, and he did marry too many wives, so his heart was turned away. We'll see this, it's coming up in the Gemara Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to have too many horses, could end up in Mitzrayim, and he did have too many horses, and he didn't end up in Mitzrayim. We have to be extremely, extremely, extremely careful. So look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rish Lakish, B'tchila molach Shloimoi al ha'elyoinim. In the beginning, Shlomo HaMelech literally reigned supreme. Again, difficult to understand. But not only did he reign on everything in this world, Ba'olam Hazeh, but he even was the Melech Ba'elyoinim. He even reigned over all the celestial beings and the Malachim, etc., etc. That's how far his Melucha stretched. Says the Gemara. How do we know that to be the case? Shenema, because it says, Ki hu roide, because he was ruling, Bekol Eivar Ano, Mitifsach Va'ad Azo. Now, it says that he reigned Mitifsach Ad Azo. What does that mean? Where's Tifsach on the globe, and where is Azo? So the Gemara says there's two possibilities what this may mean. Rav Shmuel. Chad Omar Tifsach B'Soif Olam V'Azo B'Soif Olam. Some explain that they are two opposite ends of the world. So therefore, if you write that he was a king from Tifsach Ad Azo, it's another way of saying that he was a king upon the entire world. V'Chad Omar, a different understanding, but it gets to the same conclusion. V'Chad Omar, no. Tifsach V'Azo B'Hodi Hadodi Havayosvi. Some say that no, to the contrary. That these two places are not at either ends of the world. They are, in fact, right next to each other. Ukeshem shemolach al tifsach va'al azo, kach molach al koloilam kuloi. they explain it doesn't mean that he reigned all the way from Tifsach until Azza, which are two ends of the world, which is another way of saying the whole world. In fact, these two areas is like saying Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph and Beis. Well, those border each other. So the more, that's exactly what it means. In the same way that he ruled over Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph and Beis, which are right next to each other, which means there is nothing in between them, that he was not the Melech over, so too that's a moshel, that there was nothing on the planet Earth at all that he was not the Melech over. So either way, you get to the same conclusion. Look at Rashi on first, very wide line. Betchila, what does it mean, betchila? Koidem shenasa shloimoi noshim nochrios. Before he married strange or non-Jewish women, molach af al elyonim. He was even the king over elyonim, over the upper worlds. However, then he got demoted, says the Gemara. Ula besaif, however, loy molach elo al Yisrael. However, then he ended up just being the king over Klal Yisrael. In other words, he was stripped partially of his extensive powers. How do I know it was just on Yisrael? Shenemar, Ani Koheles, who's Koheles? Koheles is Shlomo HaMelech. And how does he describe himself? Ani Koheles, Hoyisi, Melech al Yisrael. He refers to himself as being the king only over Klal Yisrael. Then it got taken away even more. Ula b'soif loy molach elo al Yerushalayim. He ended up only then being a king on Yerushalayim. Shenema divrei Koheles, again Ben David. Who's Koheles? Ben David, that's Shlomo HaMelech. And he is described as Melech b'Yerushalayim. So it's gone from being the whole world to just Klal Yisrael to Yerushalayim. And then he ended up being, as it were, the king only over his own bed. His mitah, that's all he has. It's going down. Now he ends up only being the king over his own stick. That's all I have from all my omol is just my stick.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Was this big, why did it keep getting worse and worse and worse? Was he not getting the message that he was doing the wrong thing, or did he keep doing worse and worse and worse?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I'm unable to answer that. I don't know. It's a fair question. Says the Gemara, Rav Ushmuel. Now, there is a machloikas between Rav and Shmuel about this last stage. Chadomar makloi. Some say that literally the only thing he had left was his stick. Chadomar gundoi. I think gundoi means his cloak. His baguette, that's all he had.
Was he kicked out of the palace?
I think so, but we're going to see now. Let's see. Maybe he came back. Says the Gemara, Hodar, Oiloi Hodar. I'm assuming this means that the Gemara is posing a question. Was he returned? Did he ever come back from this? That's how it's translated there?
Yep.
Rav Shmuel, there's a machlekas about that as well. Rav Amar Hodar, Rav Amar that he was indeed restored to his former glory. However, V'chadomar Hodar, V'chadomar Loi Hodar. One says that he was restored to former glory, one says he was not restored to former glory. Man Do Amar Loi Hodar, the one who says that he was not ever restored, means Melech and then Vehediot. Means he was initially a Melech and then Rabbi Yosef, I need your help on this because I do not think it means that he wasn't restored at all. There's a note over here, B'shem the Marashal. Okay, let's say Rabbi Yosef, how they translate this. Clearly the Gemara is not saying that he wasn't restored at all. The whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is, I think, to what extent he was restored. So how do they explain this?
Well, they didn't, because the first opinion is just stated. The first was the king and afterwards became a commoner, and the Oscar lands and never fully regained his crown. Amandi or Mahoda, the one who said he did return.
He never fully regained it, but did he regain it at all?
That's the expression there. I can't see anything more, actually.
Okay, so carry on. How does the Gemara carry on?
And then Umar Dioma Huda, the one who said that Shlomi did return to his original dominion, Melech Vehejit Umelech, that he was a king, then became a commoner, and then he was reinstated as king. And then I think we go on to a new topic.
And then he was reinstated. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Man the Omar Loyhoda Mother.
Wait a minute, there's a Mashur.
Oh, 1 second. Let's just read one more out. Uman the Omar Hodar Melech Vehedyet Umalach. Right. So read the Marshal, the Marshal.
Marshal. Shlomo certainly completed his life as a king. Right. The Gemara questions only if he regained all the dominion.
Yeah. Right. That's what I was saying before. And as according to the Marshal, the question is not, was he restored or was he not restored? The question is rather, to what extent was he restored? Was he restored to absolute former glory, meaning he was the king both over Tachtainim and over Elyonim, which therefore would mean, I guess, he was Chayza B'tshuva Shlema and his Shlema was accepted? Or was he restored only partially? If you look at the very last Rashi on the Ovid, Melech Vehedye Veshuv Loi Chozar Lamalchusai, never again to return to the Malchus. Now, I don't know about you, in your Gemaras, is there a little star on that word Lamalchusai? Is there a star or a note? So if you look at the bottom of the page, it sends like a little star and it says, Rot Soloima, what that means is, when it says that he wasn't restored to the Malchus, what it means is he wasn't restored Ke'ein Malchus Rishoino Shemolach Alo Elyoinim. That's what it means he wasn't restored. It means he wasn't restored to absolute former glory in which he was the king, even over the Elyoinim. To that extent, he wasn't. And they say, Kach Nitfois Al Gilyan Rashi B'Shein Marshal, in other Prince of Rashi, that's what it says. So Rashi over here is a little bit vague because Rashi seems to say that he was not restored to his Malchus at all. But according to this addition of Rashi elsewhere, no, it means he wasn't restored fully, but he was restored at least partially.
But according to the Mandoma that says he wasn't restored, so does this affect his children too? And then, Melech David, Malchus David, and the whole thing? Because if he stopped, if he's no longer king, what happens to after him?
So again, according to the Marshal, which we're going to go with, it's fine, because he definitely finished his life as a Melech. The question is only to what extent, and that seems to be the correct version.
Okay.
As is clearly evident by Rashi elsewhere. Okay, says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanak. Oitzreis Melochim Lemelech. Veshar Biza Shaboizazim Mechza Lemelech Umechza Laom. So Oitzreis Melochim means as the royal treasury. Now, the royal treasury, who actually owns the royal treasury? Now, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdolos. I and Rabbi Yosef are from a little country called the UK. Now, in the UK, there is something called the crown jewels, which I assume you've heard of. The crown jewels are diamonds and precious stones, which are reported to be worth, or they're priceless, whatever, hundreds of billions or whatever. And the question is, who actually owns those? And if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yosef, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Queen, or now the King of England, is the owner of those crown jewels. Is that right, Rabbi Yosef?
I really don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I should ask them for a donation to the Shul campaign. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, they own it. So it's not just the royal treasury, which is something that's like, you know, the palace, as it were. It's actually their property. And Alhamdulillah, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. There exists the royal treasury, says the Gemara, l'melochim, l'melech, that belongs to the melech. V'shar bizo. What does that mean? V'shar bizo, meaning when Klal Yisrael go to war, we saw this early on, and they plunder, they take the booty. Who is that? Who owns that? Who is that belonging to? The Gemara says, mechza l'melech u'mechza la'am. Half to the king and half to the am. Now, Omale Abaye le Rav Dimi, v'omre lo Rav Acha, bish loyma oitzrus malachim lemelech. The first half of that sentence, will that make sense? Urcha de milsa, that's the normal way. If it's the royal treasury, makes perfect sense, it should be owned by the king. Elo shar bizo shebozes in. But you also add that all the rest of the bizo is mechza lemelech or mechza la'am minolon. Where'd you get that from? The first half of the sentence doesn't need to be supported by a pasuk because it's obvious. But what about this splitting up of the booty? Where do you know that it's half king, half the am? Says the Gemara Diksiv. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Ve'yimshechu l'Hashem l'nogid u'latzodik, which is a pasuk, is referring to Shlomo HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu anointed him as a nogid and a tzaddik. How do they translate those words, Rabbi Yosef, as a nogid and a tzaddik?
Anointed him as prince to Hashem, and tzaddik as was anointed separately as Kohen.
As a Kohen.
As Kohen Godo.
Right, because if you look in the Bach actually adds ula tzaddik le Kohen. So makish nogid le tzaddik. We're comparing the Nogoid to the Tzaddik. He was equally a Kohen as he was a prince. Ma Tzaddik, Mechza Loi, U'mechza Lo'ochiv. Just like a Kohen, as we're going to see in a moment, half goes for him, half goes to his brothers. Af Nogid, Mechza Loi, U'mechza Lo'ochiv. So too, a prince, a Kohen goes half-half. What does that mean, a Kohen goes half-half? Says the Gemara, but tzaddik gufoy minolon. What about the tzaddik itself? How do you know that he goes half to Tanya? Rabbi Yoima, v'hoiso la'aroin u'levonov, mechza la'aroin u'mechza levonov. Rashi says this is referring to the lechem aponim. So the lechem aponim is split two ways between Aaron and the rest of the children. So you see there exists the split half-half in the family of the Kohenim. Shlomo HaMelech is referred metaphorically, obviously, to as a Kohen. Or at least there's a comparison between the fact that he was a king and a Kohen. Just like a Kohen, there's a lechem upon him, which is split half-half. So too, as a prince, everything has to be split half-half. What does that mean? It's split half-half. This is referring to the booty. Rabbi Larry, are you going to say something?
I just don't know. I lost you a little bit on how they just have the right to call that he's compared to a Kohen.
Yeah, it's just a reference. You're 100% true. It doesn't mean he's a Kohen because we know that he absolutely was not a Kohen. We know that he was, in fact, from Shevet Yehuda. So I guess it was just there. Kohen can mean a priest. I don't know why he's referred to as a Kohen. But either way, we use that as a hekesh, the fact that he was a prince and a king, that's comparable to a Kohen. Just like a Kohen goes half-half, so does a Melech go half-half. Okay, everybody, I have to finish over here. But Ezra Sashem, I hope I have renewed koicha is tomorrow, following a big night tonight, and Mitz Hashem will reconvene tomorrow.
Amen. That's great.